Mr. Joginder Singh, Rue 6. Were there any Japanese in the police station when you reached there?
You see, I had only contact with the local police inspector, and very likely if they were, they would have been in other rooms in the police station, but I did not notice any.
When you were brought there, were there any kind of questionings, any taking down of particulars?
Well, there was the registration, and I was given a grand number of prisoner number 154. They wrote the number on a piece of cloth, wrote some word, maybe my name or something of that sort, beside the number, and they applied the Japanese seal onto it. And I had to tie it on my arm here, armband, just above the elbow, to my shirt, wherever I was going to, while in their camp.
Were you given any clothes to...
No.
Did your other friends who went back with you, were they being taken in also?
All of them, just except maybe one or two who had either not come back or who had hidden themselves. Most of the others did come, were taken and brought to us in the camp.
So you were all detained in the barracks?
Yes.
Were you all given any freedom of movement within that barracks?
No. We had our own barrack. We had our own barracks, or say own shed. That's where we were. And we could not go out.
What did you all do there every day?
Well, we had to wash the toilets of the married quarters, married people. We had to go out under escort to the field in Banda Hilir, where a deep trench had been dug across the football field to prevent the land being used by aeroplanes. We filled it up, and then when that was completed, we went to Kubu Padang, the football field, and where the army had built their huts and had their own personal trenches, to demolish the huts and fill up the trench and restore the field back to its original position.
How long did you have to work?
I think we were there up to the 2nd of April or so.
So during all those time you were working at the trenches and the field?
Yes.
How many of you were there?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, well, the better part of the signalers and the medical unit. That would be about 55 men or so.
All in the barracks?
All over there, yes.
All were from the Malacca Volunteer Corps?
Yes.
Were there any other prisoners there?
One Gorkha soldier, a young boy about 17 years old, was there after his discharge from the hospital.
So that barracks were meant for prisoners who were military personnel before the war?
I didn't follow that.
The barracks were only for those who were in the military before the war?
No,
and not
I don't
for any civilian?
That. Which barracks are you referring to?
The one that you were in. Was
the one
civilian?
The one we were in? Well, they were... Well, instead of putting us into the prison cells in the police station or in the prison, they kept us in a hut within the police station compound itself. Mm. And other than the volunteers, there was nobody there. Why the barracks had been built there, I wouldn't know.
So only the volunteers were in the barracks?
Only, yes.
What about the prison cells?
My part?
What about the prison cells? Who were there?
Well, the prisoners.
Prison cells.
Prison cells. You see, what I was going to say is, in the police station, we have certain cells where people caught before being taken to court are normally kept if they can't get bail to be bailed out and to be presented in court the following morning. Those are the cells in the police station itself. Well, then we have, as far as the prison is concerned, those people are serving time. That's a different thing altogether. That's right.
What kind of treatment did you receive as a prisoner of war in the barracks?
Well, where we were, the side door nearest to us had its own sentry, and then the other doors were through the station itself. Well, there's nobody would have gone through the doors in the police station. This was being, the side door was being guarded, and we could not go out at all.
The sentry was a local policeman?
Local policeman, yes.
How were their attitudes towards all of you?
Well, as far as they had their own duty to do. Well, their duty to see that nobody left. And it did not occur to anybody to try to escape. Because as far as the treatment is concerned, we expected to be made to do some sort of work. And that was, and we were doing it. Going out in the morning to do it, doing our share of the work, coming back, that's about all.
Were any of you ever tortured or interrogated by the Japanese for running away?
None whatsoever.
You were there until April?
Until April.
After that, what happened?
Well, then we were released on parole and had to go back to once in a month or so, to report that we were still there. And then, well, they checked on him against the registers.
Why did they decide to release you?
Well, from the talk we had among ourselves, the only impression we had formed was the community leaders in Malacca spoke to the authorities on our behalf.
Japanese authorities?
Japanese authorities on our behalf.
So all the volunteers were released?
All were released, all with us. All that who had come to Singapore, participated in the hostilities, and returned and taken prisoner there, were released.
Were you given any kind of identification papers after that?
No.
What about the armband that you had to wear?
Well, I had been keeping it as a souvenir with me all the time until sometime when it simply disappeared.
Did you have to wear it after you were released on parole?
No, Jesse. That was put on while we went out to do all this work, digging the trenches and some such duties. When we came back, we removed it.
So when you were on parole, it was not necessary to put on
it? It was not necessary.
Subsequently, what did you do after being released?
Well, after being released, well, we used to go back to our courts. They were still closed. But then the most of the staff would remain there, open the windows and the doors, remain there until the evening and go back. That is what it was. Every day, going to office, if you felt like doing it, staying there till the evening, closing the doors and going back. Right up to about July.
Was it on the staff's own initiative to go back to the courts and stay there? Or did the Japanese ask the people to go back to the courts to work?
Well, I wouldn't know, because at all it was left to the registrar of the courts. It could be that since the Japanese announcement all reported to the various departments and whatnot, he had gone back, and there was no work to be done. And he would have tried to take instruction from the next civil servant, senior officer there, from the secretariat, and the instruction would be, since you have asked to work, you have to open the office and close. As to whether the other members of the staff came or not, it's a different thing. But as chief clerk, you have to do it whether you like it or not.
Earlier you mentioned that you had to report to the police station regularly when you were on parole.
Yes.
What happened if anyone failed to report?
What happened, I won't know, because as far as I'm concerned, I was quite regular. And I think everybody else was regular.
What kind of reporting was that?
Well, we'll go to a particular section and say, oh, I've come. And you see, when we walked in, Malacca is so small a place that we knew one another. So when we went to the office, they knew why we had come for.
After you were released, did the Japanese assign you with any work or did the police assign you with any work?
After release, no.
So you had to find a job yourself?
We were on our own. After, say, as it is, one, we had been paroled for some time. We had been reporting. And after a particular month, we were told, don't come back to us anymore.
When was that?
I won't know when.
So was it difficult to find a job?
Yes, as far as I'm concerned, I went back to my old job. I was waited until the word came, all right, now let the courts well start working as normal.
When did you go back to the courts to work?
I think, let me see whether I have, I think somewhere here, my old...
When was it?
It was the 4th of July 1942.
Mm-hmm. How did you go back to the courts to work?
Well, on the 4th of... Well, we had received word, I think, from the registrar that we are going to start work as from tomorrow. So, even previously, whether you had come, whether you liked it or not, well, from tomorrow it is... Well, the normal working. So we went up, there was the attendance book. We put our name in the attendance register and waited for instructions.
There was no procedures to go through to go back to work?
No other procedure. You see, we had our own tables there. We went to back to our tables. We had the attendance register. We put our names and we signed our names in the attendance register. That's about all.
There was no need to check your particulars or to make sure that you were there before?
I don't think so, because in the civil district of Malacca, there are only three of us. And we had each of us, as you know, we have all this record of service file. And in the same file, or that they had started putting another sheet of paper and say, reported back or something of the sort.
So you received the instructions to go back after you were released at your home?
I had been visiting courts almost every day. I had been visiting the courts almost every day. Being a bachelor, having nothing else to do, so that was a prayer that we would be gathering there until, and spending a couple of hours there before doing something else.
You mentioned that there were three of you. Who were the three of you?
Well, our chief clerk was an old man by the name of, I think, Seng Hawk. Then the clerk number two was Mr. Hua Kao and myself, the three of us in the civil court. In the criminal side, there was only one clerk. His name was Wee Tiam Chin. The Supreme Court had a staff of another three or four. The chief clerk there was, or the deputy registrar was Tomasius. There was another clerk by the name of Fernandez, Lionel Fernandez. Another clerk, Guy Fobrogo. And another Chinese clerk, To Seng Kim.
So you were in a civil district court?
Civil district court.
In Malacca, what kind of organization did the courts have? That means, which was on top and what were the subordinate cords and all that? The structure of the cords.
The structure of the cloth. Almost close to the cord, on the other side of the road, the hill had been cut. There were steps, about 20 steps, from the road leading up. And this court building was built on the top. It was a longish building. The staircase was about, not in the center, but towards about one-third over. One side was twice as long as the other side. The staircase led to the first floor. On one side of it was a high court secretariat. Then there was the court room, and at the end were the registrar's or the judge's chambers. The same thing was repeated on the ground floor. One side was a courthouse, and the other side, just below the judge's chambers, would be the civil district court staff. Half of the side would be occupied by the staff, and on the other side would be the interpreters. Near the staircase would be a small office where the police, the only clerk in the police court, had his office. And on the top, on the third floor, was the bankruptcy staff.
What was the organization of the courts like?
Organization in what sense?
The
building?
The hierarchy of the courts. The running of the courts. Who was overall in charge?
Here. The Malacca courts had a district judge. Just before the war was Mr. Lim Kun Tek. He had succeeded Mr. W.J. Thorogood. He was number one, the district judge. And then as far as the assistant district judge is concerned, that was a European, an Englishman. I think it was A.E. Mills. That is about just before the fall. And when we came back, we had as the assistant district judge a Malay gentleman who was not connected with the courts before. He was a cooperative officer. I don't know from where he was taken. Mr. Baba bin Jainuddin. And Mr. Ambrose, who was in the official assignee section during the British days, he was a district judge. The Ambrose who later on came to Singapore as Justice Ambrose and retired. Well, in the High Court, as in the court section, he says we had, the district judge was also officiating as registrar. Then the deputy registrar was a Eurasian, Thomasius. He had a staff of about another three clerks under him. As far as the civil court is concerned, there are only three clerks, I mentioned. And the police courts, there was only one clerk. In addition to this, we had a set of interpreters. There were four interpreters. Two Chinese interpreters, one was Mr. Wong Kon Yoon, another was Mr. Chan Kwai Sin. Then the Tamil interpreter was Mr. Hamza, and the Malay interpreter was Mr. Hashim bin Haji Adogani. In addition to this, for the execution work, there was a bailiff. He was a man from Singapore, I think He went as Mr. Chong or whatever his name was. I don't remember anymore. And then we had the notice service. We had three notice service. And there would be two or three tambis. That's about all.
Were there any Japanese working in the courts?
When the Japanese, during the Japanese days, we had a Malay-speaking Japanese woman who was attached to the courts as an interpreter. And we did have posted as an overhead of the courts, an overhead head, a Japanese by the name of Mr. Ichiba. Every morning, he would come down to the office of the registrar, to the assistant district judge's office, he would come down and ask him, "Let me see your list today. What cases do you have?" The list, and there would be the Japanese interpreter, and he'll go through the list. And say, "All right, what's the first case about?" He said, "First case deals with riding a bicycle without light." "What's the second case about?" "Oh, second case will be selling vegetables without a license." Third case will be fighting in public. He'll go to whatever, through all sorts of cases that was dealt with. And then he'll say, "Now, under your old British law, what would be the punishment for this sort of case?" You say, "Oh, a fine amount in such and such." "What about this one?" In this way, he would go through and find out the type of cases we had and the sort of punishment that would be meted out. And after that, he will tell the magistrate, "All right, now you go and conduct the cases." Having conducted the cases, the magistrate could just take the record or the plea of whether the man wanted to be tried or whether he pleaded guilty, and then the cases would be adjourned for him to come back into the chambers and then report back to the judge, the Japanese judge. And then he said, "What do you suggest? What would you do in the normal circumstances?" "Oh, in this case, Hawking without a license, I would fine him about $2. He says, "All right, you fine him $2. So the magistrate there will start writing down whatever the sentence is going to impose. And after he has written down, the Japanese will take his rubber seal, the seal, and put a seal on the whatever decision has to be made. And then the judge will go out into open court and pronounce a sentence.
So during the Japanese occupation, the courts used the British legal system.
You just see, in almost all normal cases, it was British justice was being used. Except when it came to, one case was a robbery case, I think. What had happened was one Arab had a bicycle, his bicycle had been taken away by a boy who borrowed it, punctured it, went to a bicycle shop to have the tire patched. But then, when the bicycle repairer opened the tire, he found the tube was a new one with just one hole in it. He switched tubes. When the boy took it back, well, the ad didn't hold. And when the owner of the bicycle went to the shop to have it repaired, he found it was not his tube. He quarreled with the man, he took another tube away from the shop and went back. For that he was arrested and taken to the court. And the Japanese judge himself took the case. And then he applied his own way of doing things, asking the Arab, his family background in Arabia, when he came down, why he came to Singapore, why he came to Malacca and all those things. But as far as the local judges were concerned, they didn't bother to ask a person's family history and the reason for his coming to this country at all.
So what was the sentence that he passed?
I think, I don't remember what the sentence was.
Were there many of such exceptional cases where...
Very rare.
What were your impressions of this Japanese? This Japanese judge, what was your impression of him?
Well, he was more of an administrative, doing the work, and more of the administrative work than anything. As far as the sentencing and cases was, he left it to the court. But one thing I would say is, they gave respect where it was due. On one occasion he had to step across the court, to go across the court to another office at one end. And I could see him stooping down, bowing very low, facing the judge. Every pace he took towards the other end of the building, he would turn his head towards the judge who is taking court, bow low at him, and then proceed.
The judge was a local judge?
The judge was this Malay cooperative officer who used to go and report every morning to him as to the sort of cases he had, the sort of impartial punishment that the British would have imposed, and had his course list sanctioned by him by putting a rubber stamp, now you can pass the sentence.
What about the Japanese lady interpreter? Was she the only one there?
She was the only one there.
How were working relationship like with the Japanese? How were working relationship like with the Japanese? Did you all work?
No, as far as she was concerned, we knew that as she was only an interpreter and nothing more than that. But still, we would not want to talk anything about our own politics in her presence.
Could you all get along as
I think we had no difficulty, as far as she was concerned, no difficulty at all.
The staff that were in the courts were the same one as before the war?
The same, yes. No change whatsoever.
When you were working as a clerk in the courts, were you given any kind of pass or identification papers?
No, I think the only had is a slip of paper. You had it, I think, in the last time.
No, what kind of paper was it?
Some of the characters written in China, the Panjira.
Stating
the Chinese characters.